Pastor. Praise the Lord. If you are there and you are expecting that the goodness in the gospel will reach out to you tonight, everybody, everywhere, I said, praise the Lord. The Lord has been saving souls, restoring backsliders, doing good in every life, and healing the sick, delivering the oppressed, even raising the dead. Since we started this global crusade, the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings to every creature. And the Lord is still at work. And your life, it'll work tonight. Amen. Your family, it'll work tonight. Amen. Transformation, total, complete, entire transformation because of his triumph. He'll do it in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. But I want to tell you something. That you're not just there, looking here and there. If you came for something, pay attention. And whatsoever he says unto you, do it. That's the price you pay. He's died on the cross of Calvary. He's provided everything. But you don't just fold your hands and close your mouth and close your eyes and just bend down and see rain. You are coming. Okay, I'm here. He'll tell you something. And whatsoever he tells you, don't say, there's no price to pay. There is nothing I will do. There is something you will do. And when he tells you, here is what you do. This is what you do. That price you pay. And if the Bartimaeus was called by Christ, he had a garment and was going to Christ, a price to pay. He removed that garment that will hinder him, that will stop him. He laid it down and he went to Christ. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Look at Zacchaeus. He wanted the salvation of the Lord. Yes, Christ is Savior. He'll tell you something to do. You abandon your past life. You abandon your past evil. Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything with wrong accusation, I restore it fourfold. There is a price to pay. Look at the prodigal son. The prodigal son had been in the far country. Now he came to himself and he had a price to pay. All the friends behind, all the things he had enjoyed as a prodigal runaway son, he had to abandon that. He couldn't carry all his friends along. There is a price to pay. And whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Here comes Christ. When did Lazarus die? 4 days ago, and he's buried. Come on. Take ye away the stone. That is the price you pay. Lord, it's stinking by now. If you believe, you will see the resurrection power of the Lord. Somebody shout, amen. Amen. The price to pay. Christ will not take away the stone for you. They went and took away the stone. That in their own case was the price they will pay. There is a price to pay. Yes, he died for you. And you pay attention. And whatsoever he says unto you, do it. He require you. He'll tell you to take that stone of unbelief away. Paul the apostle, what things were gain to me, them I count as dung. have to push aside all that position, all that possession with the Sanhedrin. And that's how he got the salvation and the service. There is a price to pay. And so as you come tonight, are you listening to the word of God? I don't want you to just, you know, hang down your hands. No price to pay, no repentance, no turning away from sin. I am here. Lord, bless me. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. I will. Somebody there, I will. That's how we get salvation. That's how we get the forgiveness of the Lord. That's how we get relationship with the Lord. He'll tell you something, and then you bow and bend and you say, Lord, thank you, I will. Bow your head and let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we look up to you tonight. And Lord, we are not going to set another standard, and we're not going to have our own terms, but your term, your condition, we're going to fulfill. And we're asking, Lord, that your miracle of salvation, your miracle of healing, your miracle of deliverance will come to everyone willing tonight in Jesus' name. And we pray that the power of heaven, the glory of heaven, the grace of heaven will come upon every life tonight in Jesus' name. Grant us the willingness that whatsoever you say unto us, we will do, and our lives will never be the same again in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. We're still in the book of Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 8 today, I'm looking at verse 25. Daniel chapter 8, and I'm reading from verse 25. And I'm reading the last line of verse 25. It says, he shall also stand against the prince of princes. He, the negative man, the son of perdition, the man of sin, he, the one representing Satan in these last days, he, the Antichrist, opposed to Christ, opposed to the salvation of man, he also shall stand against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. The devil will be broken. Satan, Lucifer, will be broken. The Antichrist, opposed to righteousness, he'll be broken. And every problem in your life, sin, sickness, satanic attack, everything broken tonight in Jesus' name. He shall be broken without hands. I come to talk to you tonight on the final triumph of the Prince of Princes. The final triumph of the Prince of Princes. There are many princes on earth. There are princes and principalities and power. There are princes of perdition. There is the Prince of Princes, our Lord Jesus Christ. And if there is Prince of Peace, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Eternal Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And when the principalities and the powers, and when all the principalities and powers of darkness, when they come against the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Princes, that principality, that power will be broken in Jesus' name. I was waiting for your amen. The final triumph. And today he comes because he is triumphant. The final triumph that brings transformation, that brings salvation, that brings healing, that brings deliverance. That triumph of the Prince of princes. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the transgressors trampled under the prince of perdition. The transgressor, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the hardened sinner is hard. The way of the evil doer is hard. All those transgressors, if they don't come to Christ, the only one who can deliver them, they are trampled under the prince of perdition. Number two, the total triumph of the prince of princes. The total, complete triumph of the prince of princes. That prince of princes is here tonight, and every yoke in your life he will destroy, every evil in your life he will cast down and throw away from your life in Jesus' name. Number three is the trustworthy transformation by the prince of peace. The trustworthy transformation by the prince of peace. Look at number one. Number one, we're looking at the transgressor trampled under the prince of perdition. In Daniel chapter 8, I'm reading from verse 7. Daniel chapter 8, verse 7. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler, that is with anger, with fury, and he was moved with a temper of annoyance, and he says against him, and he smote the ram and break his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, trampled upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. I've been talking to you about the powers of the emperors and of the empires. We have the Babylon, and we have the Medo-Persian, and we have the Greeks, and we have the Romans, and this is selecting two of them now. It says the ram, and he's standing for the Grecian Empire. He had two horns, and he was in his own time, he was mighty and powerful, but now the one that came after him, the one represented by iron, it says he came against him and he confronted him. He got him down, trampled upon him, and there was no one to help. It's the story of humanity that since the time of Adam and Eve, and since they ate the forbidden fruit, they might, you know, before the real trouble comes, it's like their power, they have an ability, they have and whatever they thought they had, and then Lucifer, Satan, the devil comes, he gains any life, every life, and he gets them down, and then they try to fight, but they cannot overcome. They use all the charms they have, but the charms cannot deliver them from Satan, and they use all the idolatry and idol worship they have, and the idolatry could not deliver them. They try science, they try traditional, they try the native strength and native power, they try scientific power, and no one could deliver them from the hand of that representative of Satan. That's where we have been. And Jesus Christ himself, he calls that Satan the prince of this world. And the whole world had been suffering under the power of that prince. But thank God, the real prince has now come. With power, with authority, with anointing that breaks every yoke out of your life. But for you to understand what this prince we're talking about, the prince of perdition, what he has done, what he's doing, what he will yet do in the far future. John chapter 14, we're looking at verse 30. John chapter 14, verse 30 hereafter. I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. The prince of this world cometh, is the prince of corruption. He's the one that corrupts the lives of everyone. Is the prince of the carnal, is the prince of the worldly, is the priest of the rebellious, he's the priest of the disobedient, he's the priest of the sinner. All the people that live in this world, that Lucifer, that priest, the one that controls the mind of people, and he shows people, go this way, go into the tunnel, and go into darkness, and go into evil, and go into dungeon. He controls all the people of the world, the people that have not known the Lord. And Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh. He comes to everyone, even dare to come to Christ. And he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones will become bread. And Jesus said, it is written. And what is written for you is written against the devil. You didn't hear that one. I said, what is written for you is written against the devil. And then he came again and said, all right, look at the pinnacle, get in there and jump down, because the scripture has said, he even tried to quote scripture. Anybody can quote scripture, but he misquoted the scripture. And Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not test, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then he came again and he said, only one thing more, and if you can do this. He wanted to corrupt him, the prince of power and the prince of peace, the prince that has all power on earth and in heaven. This prince of perdition wanted to corrupt the Lord. He said, bow down to me and I will give you all these things. And then again Jesus overcame him. He will overcome. I will overcome. What I'm telling you is the prince of this world. Defilement is the prince of that. And all destruction is the prince of that. And premature death is the prince of that. The filthiness you find in your life, in the life of anyone, is the one in charge, is the one in control. The greed and the covetousness we find in the world, he is the prince of the world that causes all that. People, they will even take the life of another person, kill another person so that they can have his property. All that covetousness, all that greed, and all that evil, he is the prince of the world, of this world. And Jesus said, he cometh, he cometh, he came, and he's still coming, and he comes to everyone. He comes to tell you, why don't you go this wrong direction? Why don't you go into darkness? Why don't you worship idol? Why don't you deceive your neighbor? Why don't you steal? Why don't you disobey God? And then you'll be independent and you'll be free. He comes to everyone. But Jesus said, he has nothing in me. And the Lord will so transform your life tonight, change your life tonight, that when that prince of perdition, when he comes, he will have nothing in you, in Jesus' name. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm reading there from verse 2. It says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the man of sin, the prince of the power of the air. And all the astrology, all the evil things people look at, they're looking at the zodiac, they're looking at the stars, and they say the stars will predict their future and their life. He is the prince of the power of the air. Other people, they go to the sea, they go to the bush, they go to the forest. He is the prince of the power of everything you find there. And once you give yourself to him and you give your life to him, and he says, obey me, you say, yes sir, you make him your master, he'll control your life, he'll control your destiny, and forever you stay with him and live with him in hellfire forever and ever. He says, he, the devil, is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, among whom also we all had a conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature, all the offsprings of Adam, all the descendants of Adam, the nature we had is the nature of that prince of the power of the air. Now, when we say sin, S-I-N, that Satan in nature, that the nature of every man, Satan finds a way to put a little injection of his own nature, a little injection of his own sinfulness, a little injection of his own rebellion. And when Satan in nature comes and take over your nature, then all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says the power and the sin that now works in the children of disobedience, they fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But thank God, Satan will lose you tonight. He will not control your life anymore. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. If you have to take up that garment of Bartimaeus and throw it away, that's the price you pay. And if you have to think, what things were gained to me? Them I counted loss for Christ. And all the authority of the Sanhedrin, the position you have in religion, if you have to cast that aside, like Saul that became Paul, that's the price you pay. And if you have to take that stone away, the stone of unbelief and the stone of finality, that your Lazarus is dead and the real sin in you that is dead, and you put the final stone there, and the Lord is saying, take away the stone, and you don't argue. Whatsoever he says unto you, and you take away that stone of unbelief, your life will come back again. Resurrection will come back again in your life in Jesus' name. It might be that you have taken up the net again. You knew the Lord before and you forsook your net and you forsook the fish. And now, after some years following the Lord, you say, I go a fishing again. And then you are by the seed side now. And children, have you any bread there? And then you say, no. He says, throw your net over there. And you throw your net there and you catch a lot of fish, and you begin to count 153, and now you bring everything to the shore. And now you say, Peter, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? Look at your fish and look at the face of Christ. Are you still going to follow me? I want to take you on a journey and get you to the day of Pentecost. I want to take you on a journey and take you to the day of power. I want to take you on a journey, and you're going to have in one message, in one preaching, 3,000 souls to be converted. I want to take you on a journey. I'm going to take you to the Acts of the Apostles. Your shadow will heal the sick, and then you'll tell Aeneas, take up your bed and walk. You're going to raise the dead. You'll come to that Dorcas and you'll say, Dorcas, rise up. And the power of resurrection that you have never tasted will come unto you. But look at your fish and look at my face. There is a price to pay. Lovest thou me more than these? And then you say, yes, Lord. And you forsake that and you come to the Lord. A new power, a new strength, a new anointing will come upon your life tonight in Jesus' name. You're looking for wine and there's no wine. The wine has finished. The wine of joy in your family, it's finished. And the wine of satisfaction in your life has finished. And you say, we have no one. He says, fill the water pots with water. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. And you have to do that against yourself, because yourself is a scientific man, an intelligent man. Well, say, we're looking for wine, we're not looking for water. But no argument. That's the price we pay. The price we pay is that we do not argue with God. And we say, we're looking for wine. It says, fill the water pots with water. And it says, draw out now. Are you not going to lay hands on the pot? Draw out now. Are you not going to say some word of command and decree on the water? Draw out now. And that's the price you pay, that your mind, your intelligence will say, we have to do something. It has to be fermented. And after the fermentation, they will carry to the master of ceremony. But when there's no argument and you forget yourself, you forget your own thought, that's the price you pay. And then you carry it and you take part of that water and you take to the master of ceremony. And he tastes it. He said, where did you get this? This is better than even what we started with. You see, you have to do something. You cannot just fold your hand and close your mouth and close your eyes and say, okay, let the man over there pray. No, you have to repent and you have to obey the word of the Lord. And you have to say, Lord, here am I. I will do whatever you have told me to do. A miracle will come to you there tonight. The opening of a blind eyes will come to you there tonight. And the power of the highest will come upon your life tonight in Jesus' name. And somebody shout, amen. We're looking at point number two now. Point number two, we're looking at the total triumph of the Prince of Princes. The Prince of Princes. We're looking again at Daniel chapter 8. I'm looking at verse 25. Daniel chapter 8, reading from verse 25. And through his policy also shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand. That's the Antichrist, that the prince of the world, that the prince of perdition, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, deceptive peace, flattery, shall he destroy many, and he shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Whatever that prince of perdition has brought into your life, you might not see any sign tonight. You might not see any hand tonight. A hand might not be laid upon you tonight, but the prince of perdition will be broken out of your life. His pain will be taken away. The perplexity will be taken away. And all the evil that he had piled upon your head tonight, everything will be taken away in Jesus' name. Amen. But remember, you must do as a command. If you happen to be Zacchaeus there, and now the Savior comes, the Prince of Princes, he comes and he looks up at you and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. And then you have to come down. You cannot say, I'm enjoying my place on the tree here. You must do whatever he says, that the price will pay. We have to do what he says. And then you come down and you say, today I must abide in your house. And you remember all the stolen goods you have in your house. And you remember what you have stolen from other people, whatever certificate of money or land or woman or wife, you've taken from them. Whatsoever you have taken by wrong accusation, like Zacchaeus, you're willing to pay the price and restore fourfold. Salvation will come to you tonight. But you know, what if I don't return? What if you don't return when Christ says you should return? Abimelech, the woman you have there is the wife of another man. Restore her unto the husband Abraham. If you don't know that you are a dead man already, the judgment of God will be upon you and upon your whole household. And so Abimelech rose up early in the morning. There's a price to pay. Repentance, restitution, and making right your life, and doing what God has said. And he called Abram, and he said, Abram, what have we done? You brought so great evil upon us. I didn't know. I thought you people here wicked. I didn't want you to kill me for my wife. All right, get your wife back and get every other thing you didn't even ask. Get everything back. And Abraham prayed for him. It didn't take 5 minutes. All the deadness in the womb of the family of Abimelech, everything was healed. A price to pay. And when you do what God has told you to do, miracle will come upon your life. Amen. Healing will come upon your life. Deliverance will come upon your life in Jesus' name. And so we're told over here, he, that prince of perdition, will be broken without hand. Christ is the prince. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5 and verse 31. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verse 31. Him as God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, Christ. The one who died for you, Christ. The one who rose again, Christ. Savior and Lord. God exalted him with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give, he is the one, the prince, the eternal prince, the mighty prince, the powerful prince, and the one that no man, no woman can fight against. The prince that brings salvation. The prince that brings freedom. The prince that brings total emancipation. How God has exalted him by the right hand, with his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel. Israel had to repent. A nation, you have to repent. A family, they have to repent. An individual, they have to repent. That is the price you pay. He died on the cross of Calvary. And because he died for you, now you want to come to him. You want to have his forgiveness and his freedom. You want to have his salvation. You want to have the new life. You want to have the goodness of the grace of God in your life. To give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. You see two things there, repentance and forgiveness. Repentance comes first. You cannot just stand there and say, okay, this should raise up a hand. I raise up my hand. You have to go beyond that. You look at your life, you look at all your sins, and you want the salvation of the Lord. You say, Lord, I turn. Lord, I repent. Lord, I give up my evil way. He gives repentance to every sinner. And then when that repentance is real, he gives forgiveness of sin. And he tells us in Acts chapter 3, we're looking at verse 15. Acts chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 15. It says, and he killed the prince of life. That's Christ. Christ is the prince of life. He gives us life. He gives us eternal life. He gives us a new heart. He gives us transformation in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit. You killed the prince of life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Look at verse 19. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore. Repent ye therefore. Did somebody say you have nothing to do? You have something to do. Repent ye therefore. Turn away from your evil. Turn away from your sin. And come to the Lord in genuine repentance unto the Lord. Repent ye therefore. therefore and be converted. Be converted. What does that mean? You know, sometimes we have, you know, those who are printers will understand, you know, the off cuts from the papers, and they have been working with the papers and they cut everything to size, and all the things that remain, those papers appear useless. Like our lives without Christ, useless. Our lives without righteousness, useless. Our lives without salvation, useless. All those off cuts, useless. But then, the person, the converter, the one who can convert all those scraps of paper and make them useful, they collect everything together, one piece from there, one piece from there, another piece from there, another piece from there, and they collect all those scraps of paper and they pass through a particular machine, and then it comes to the other side, and that is no more scrap. It's now usable. It's now sellable. It's now profitable. That's what God will do for your life tonight. It will convert you. I said it will convert you. And then you'll see, the places I used to go, I go there no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The dresses I used to wear, I wear them no more. The drinks I used to drink, I drink them no more. Something happened, conversion happened, and the scraps of paper and the useless entity has now been converted, and your life is going to be profitable to God, profitable on earth, and it will be profitable until you get to heaven in Jesus' mighty name. Repent ye therefore for your own good, for your own conversion, and for your own salvation, and for the hand of the Lord to touch you. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come. The times of refreshing shall come. It's the time of joy. It's the time of peace. It's the time of freshness. Is the time of a new life as you repent and you call upon the Lord, and Jesus Christ becomes your Savior and your Lord, and your life is now profitable when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. Now sin glues itself to us. Sin glues itself to our heart. It's like if you don't have that thing, you cannot live. It's part of your life. And then you come to Christ, you repent, you say, Lord, I don't have any power of my own to be free, but I want you to set me free. I give it up. I give it up in my mind, in my prayer, in my thought, in my decision. I give it up. And then you ask the grace of God to help you. And what you couldn't get through and get up by yourself, the Lord will detach every sin from your life. Amen. Amen. I rejoice for you. I'm happy for you. A new life is coming to you today. A new power from heaven is coming to you today in turning away every one of you from his iniquity. New life, eternal life, refreshing life, a renewed life, a transformed life, because you open up your heart to receive the Prince of Princes. We come to point number three here. Point number three is the trustworthy transformation by the Prince of Peace. The transformation, the change that comes, and it comes from heaven, and it'll change your heart to salvation. It'll turn your soul around. That's the redemption you have from the Lord. Then he will touch your body. He will change your body. And all the sicknesses there, everything will vanish away. I said all the sicknesses there, all the diseases there in your body, everything will vanish away. How does that happen? By not looking at another person, not saying, if they get it, I'll get it. That's like saying, if they breathe, I will breathe. No, we breathe, the air is available, and then we make the effort in, out, we inhale, we exhale. We're not waiting for him to breathe, for her to breathe. Before we breathe, it's a personal decision. You wake up in the morning, you need to wash, and you need to clean up yourself. If he washes, then I'll go to the bathroom, I'll wash. We don't do it like that. It's a personal decision. You're feeling pressed, and you need to release what is inside there. And you need to go to the restroom where you release all that thing. Yet I feel pressed, but let him do it first. We don't do that. If you do that, nothing will be inside. Will cause you trouble, will cause you pain. We do what we need to do, whatever others do or don't do. You want to have Jesus as your personal savior? We're not waiting for that man, we're not waiting for that woman. We do what we need to do, because we're the one asking for the peace, we're the one asking for the joy of salvation, we're the one looking for life eternal. And we do what we need to do, whether others do it or not. And then when it comes to healing, because he'll bring a change, a transformation in our body. If you are blind, you're not waiting for another blind man. What if that other blind man is not ready tonight and he doesn't want to receive the sight? You are the one that will take a personal decision. And whatsoever he says unto you, do it. If he says, lay your hand there, you lay your hands there. You're expecting that the miracle of sight will come unto you. And then we pray, and that blindness is cast off. And now we say, remove your hand from there and check up yourself. You're not waiting for other people. Before you check up yourself, you have that liberty that tonight is the night of your healing. It will happen in Jesus' name. Well, in the United States of America, you know, some time ago, and this woman, a Korean woman, was dying in the hospital, and a Nigerian nurse knew that I was in town. And that woman, Korean woman, nothing could be done for her. And so the nurse went to the doctor and said, Doctor, Pastor so-and-so from Nigeria is here in the United States, and he prays for the sick, and they are healed. And the woman said, I want to take this Korean woman, I want to take her to that meeting in St. Paul, Minnesota. Those who are old in the church in Minnesota, they are like there, they remember what I'm saying. And they put that woman on a stretcher and put her in the ambulance, and they drove to the church, and very gently they raised up that stretcher and put the woman at the back of the hall there, because they were afraid if you moved her a little, she could, you know, just pass on. She was that near the gate of death, and I didn't know she was there. And then I preached that night on the love of God and the mercy and the grace of God. And I said, if you're going to give your life to the Lord, raise up your hand. And, you know, people raised up their hands, and then we prayed. And then I said, the Lord is going to heal you now. That woman did not have another person to look to. That did another person is as serious as mine, whose case is as terrible as mine. No, she was all by herself. herself. And she said in her testimony, she had never entered any church building in her life. She was coming from Korea, and her religion wasn't even Christianity. And then I prayed, I said, name of Jesus, be healed and get up now. And the power of God struck her there. Nobody even went there. She felt the inner strength and the inner power. She rose up. I said she rose up. I said she rose up. Some people clap as if they have crow in their hands. And then when she rose up, she walked. I was wondering what was happening. And she walked to the front. She was crying, tears of joy. And then she said, Pastor, I have a question. I thought it was going to be a great question. You know, when people are coming from that kind of that side of the world, and they say they have a question, you say, oh God, help me that I'm able to answer her question. Maybe he wants to ask a question on science, on religion, or whatever. I said, what's your question? He said, today is the first time I'm hearing the name of Jesus. And now I was about to die, and I got up. Now I'm healed. Now I'm strong. He said, my question is, why did God heal somebody like me? Oh, I said, that's your question. That one is simple. Because God has miracles of mercy. That even though you've never been in church, you've never read the Bible, but the miracle of mercy has come upon you today. Enjoy your health. And that woman was so happy. A time of refreshing had come for her. A time of refreshing has come for you. Power to heal, power to deliver, and power to set free. Tonight is your night. My point is, she didn't wait for anybody. She got it by herself. She had not heard or seen any other person giving testimony before, but she got it by herself. You'll get it by yourself. Now we have a church in Moscow, Russia. At that time, when I was invited there, we had no church, no member, no believer in Russia. And then we didn't use a church building, we used a parliamentary building. And that building is where they have been gathering people together for 70 years. And they have been telling people, no God, no God, no God. And then the people of Russia, the Pentecostal Union of Russia, they invited me. And we went there, and it was a parliamentary building. We used, I didn't hear the language, and most of them did not understand the English. I was speaking by an interpreter. And then somebody who had been taught atheism and had been told, no God, no power, no miracle, he said, I was sure there that they are telling lies to these people. No miracle, no power. And so what he did, he went to look for somebody who had been paralyzed for 25 years. Hands paralyzed, feet paralyzed, helpless, impotent, and could not make any move at all. And then put that woman at the door. And it's just that one door there. Everybody going out of the meeting that day will see the paralyzed woman there. And then they'll be warning, but they say, God is a God of miracles, a God of power, and the Prince of power, and the Prince of peace. Why is this one there? We mention the name of Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
And that woman was there. Helpless, paralyzed, could not take any move at all. And then we prayed. After the prayer, come on, see miracle, miracle, miracle. And so all the people, they clapped, they rejoiced, they had flowers, they threw flowers on me, they put flowers in my pocket, they put flowers in my hand, and I was full of flowers. Praise the Lord. But the problem, that woman, paralyzed, 25 years, was still there. And we then said the final grace, and we said the meeting is over. And as the people were walking out, and he looked at that woman, 25 years paralyzed, and she looked at them, power came unto her. She rose up, she began to walk, and great pandemonium of miracle happening there. And I didn't know about it, but the people there, Pentecostal Union of Russia in Moscow, the Moscow branch, they invited me back. That happened in June. They invited me back in October. And then I was introduced. I was holding the mic and I was starting to preach. I'd not really started, but just introducing the message. And somebody from the back of the hall, the same parliamentary building, rose up and then was walking. I was surprised. I said, "Why? What are the ushers doing? Why is it they allow this woman to just be coming? There's insecurity here." And then she climbed the stage, and I was wondering. I kept on talking, because you must not show that, you know, you are wondering about something. And then she came to me while I was preaching, and she didn't say, "Excuse me, sir." She just stretched her hand and took the microphone from me. I said, "Today is today." And then she started talking. She said, "You people here, you know me. I was paralyzed for 25 years. And when this pastor came 4 months ago in June, the people were passing, I got up. And since then, I have been walking." And he gave the testimony. And then when the people heard, they knew that something good was about to happen to them. And as you have heard, you know something good is about to happen to you. Because that Christ is still alive. That Jesus is still alive. He's the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, I'm reading from verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, we're reading from verse 6. "For unto us, not unto them alone, not only unto the Jews, unto us Jews and Gentiles, unto us men and women, unto us who are living today, unto us that live on the face of the earth, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." The government of your life, the government of your family will be upon his shoulder, and whatever challenge you have, he'll carry it away from you tonight in Jesus' name. And his name shall be called Wonderful. The Wonderful One will do wonders in your life tonight in Jesus' name. He'll be called Counselor. The wisdom you need have before to come out of this dungeon and come out of this danger, that Counselor will bring the wisdom. You'll come out tonight in Jesus' name. If the mighty God that never lost any battle, the battle of your life, he'll fight it for you tonight. You will overcome in Jesus' name. If the everlasting Father, there is no one that has lived on this earth from the time the world was created until this time that Christ did not know about, because he's everlasting. Is the Father of eternity and the Prince of Peace. Peace he'll bring to your heart. Power he'll bring to your life. A change he'll make in your life. Transformation in your soul, in your spirit, in your body will come to you tonight in Jesus' name. Look at verse 7. In verse 7 it says, of the increase of his government. Increase of his government. Increase of his government. What does that mean? He's still opening the door. And he says, you can still come in. You can still come in. Increase of his government. It will rule out every evil power in your life. You say, am I not late? Because other people have been saved. Other people have come in. Other people have believed. Other people have got the goodness of the Lord, of the grace of God. Am I not late? No, you are not late. You can still come in today because his kingdom is increasing. The increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. It will order your life. It will straighten out your life. Anything that is upside down, the Lord will put it the right side up and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, from henceforth, from now, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this performance in your life tonight. Salvation in your life tonight. Forgiveness in your life tonight. Healing in your life tonight. Miracle in your life tonight. In Jesus' name. Are you there? I said, are you there? Where are you? You will be part of the increase of his kingdom. It will take you in. It'll forgive your sin. It will change your life. It will turn everything good for the better in your life tonight in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Your time has come. Say, my time has come. Say it, my time has come. For the young, for the old, for the men, for the women, for the fathers, for the mothers, for the sons, for the daughters, for the up, for the low, everyone, my time has come. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The Lord is inviting you now, and you have something to do, that you will come unto him, and whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He's calling you now. And if you're giving your life to the Lord, and you're saying, yes, I want that transformation, I want that new life, I want that forgiveness, and I'm going to repent, I'm going to turn to the Lord with all my heart, all my soul and all my mind, wherever you are, raise up that hand. Amen, amen, and amen. That's the man there, that's the woman there, that's the boy, that's the girl there. Raise up that hand and say, Lord, I've heard, and I want to come into the kingdom right now, and I want to be part of the increase of your government, and I want your peace in my heart, I want your forgiveness in my life. Raise up that hand now. You're coming to Christ. What joy, what privilege, and what great opportunity for you as you are raising up your hand here at the Alpha location, and there online over the radio, and there over the television, anywhere where you are, raise up that hand now. The Lord has seen that hand. Stand up wherever you are. You stand up now and you are indicating, I am for the Lord now. I am for Jesus now. If the Prince of Peace, he'll give me peace. He'll give me rest. He'll restore me restoration. If you're a backslider and you're coming to the Lord now so that his salvation will be yours, his forgiveness will be yours, and his eternal life will be yours even tonight. Raise up your hand and stand up wherever you are. As you're standing up, tell the Lord, Lord, I come out of darkness, I come to the light. I come away from the prince of perdition, and I come to the prince of peace. I come away from the god of this world, and I come to the God of heaven to change my life, to transform my life. Lord, I turn away from my evil and I turn to the gracious goodness of the Lord for me today. Lord, save me, forgive me. I will no more go back to all those evil things I've left behind. All those things that were gained for me, I count them as dung and dross, and wholeheartedly, my soul, my spirit, my body, my life, I come unto Christ and unto Christ alone. Keep on standing. I will pray with you right now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your love and for your mercy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I pray for all these. I pray you forgive all their sins in Jesus' name. Take the condemnation away from them and take the powerlessness and the hopelessness of people without Christ. Take that helplessness, hopelessness away from them in Jesus' name. Give them, Lord, a refreshing, a rest, a restoration, redemption in the soul of everyone. Write their names in the book of life right now. And let there be a practical change, a powerful change, and a visible change that everybody can see that now he, she has come to the Lord as is our personal Savior. Confirm your forgiveness and salvation in every heart right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That salvation is there now. We call on moderating overseer tonight to lead us in this time of counseling. I'll be coming back like the Lord raised up and heal that Korean woman and that Moscow woman. That Lord is still here. He'll touch you and heal you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Congratulations. Something good has happened to you tonight. Heaven is rejoicing because of you. Angels are celebrating because of you. Heaven is giving you a welcome hand into the kingdom of God. You are part of the increase of God's kingdom. Our counselors are there. Supply the necessary information and ensure those information are correct, because now as we pray for you, the prayer will meet you the very address that you are giving now. Your telephone number, make sure it's correct, because as you receive messages on your telephone, it shall be messages of wonders and miracles. So make sure you give us the correct one, because messages will be coming to you. As you open it like this, you are opening to your miracle. Every test you receive from the counselors will be a test of blessing, of wonder, of testimony. Those who have been saved, we say amen on behalf of these people. I can hear your amen. Amen. So please, counselors, let's go everywhere. Ensure that we capture everyone, because it is very important. As we are writing their names now, heaven is writing their names in the book of life. If you are watching online, you will see a particular link below. Copy the link, fill it, and send it immediately. If you are listening via radio and television, there is a number that is, you can send your SMS. And you can take this number, +234 9154449263. I take it again, +234 9154449263. Just send your information to that line through WhatsApp as well. And let's listen to this. All those who have given their lives to the Lord on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, and the many that are giving their lives unto the Lord today. There's a special meeting for you tomorrow by 2:30 p.m. We call it Lunch Hour with Jesus, specially organized for you. Make sure you are there. Be there. You'll be taken care of physically as well. Preparation has been made for you. And special information we giving unto us. We'll be having special New Year rally. Everybody, you clap for all our converts from this program. Special New Year rally for you. Those online, it's going to be on the 8th January, year 2023. What a wonderful way to begin the new year. That year will be a blessed year for you. And for all our converts in all over Ekiti State, in Ado Ekiti here, by 4 p.m. on the 8th of January, year 2023, there's going to be a special rally banquet for you in particular. 2023 is starting with banquet of joy for you. Every day will be a day of joy for you. Every week will be a week of joy for you. And every month of the year 2023 will be a month of joy for you in Jesus' name. So all those who gave their lives unto the Lord, there is this special convert rally and banquet for you on the 8th of January by 4 p.m. in Ajibandele Campground here on this place. Then in all our region headquarters, the same time, 4 p.m., there will be a special banquet for you in all the locations. That year will be a blessed year for you. Any amen on their behalf? And you that you are saying amen, 2023, a blessed year for you in Jesus' name. Our counselors want to find out in all the sections in the front here, can we have the supervisors indicating if they are true? On my right hand side, you are true. Can we see the flag? Any hand there? All right, close to the campus hall. You can still see some people dealing with some people there. Right at the back, let's ensure everyone is captured. No one should be left out, because heaven is rejoicing on their behalf now. And it's a blessed experience to be part of the family of God. What a wonderful family. What a glorious family. Heaven is welcoming you now. May the joy of salvation abide in your life in Jesus' name. Our counselors on the left-hand side, very close to the wall. Can we see whether you are through? In my front, at the back, far back. Any indication we are through? Can we see your hand? Let's see the flag if you are true. All right. Towards the back. Yes, on my right-hand side. Are we true? Towards the youth hall and the main auditorium in front of the main auditorium at in front now. And the rest of us, let me be preparing for ourselves. Tonight will be supernatural explosion, miracle explosion, Pentecostal power explosion. So shall it be for you in Jesus' name. All right. I think we are prepared now. As our pastor is coming to the pulpit now, to come and pray the miracle prayer for us.
Your clapping is funny to me, like you're clapping in the village. Step it up. Step it up. 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 Miracle coming your way in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Elijah told his servant, already he told Ahab, there had been dryness for 3.5 years. Now, the Lord said he was bringing rain, abundance, avalanche, great showers of blessing. And so he told Ahab, he said, get on your chariot, because that rain you've been waiting for 3.5 years, the rain is coming now. Amen. Miracle rain. Amen. Healing rain. Amen. Deliverance rain. Amen. And so Ahab started, I was riding, he said, run, so that the rain will not disturb you. And then he told his servant, he said, go look and see. And the servant came back and said, I see nothing. Today you must see something. Go back and look again, second time. I see nothing. What kind of eye do you have? I told Ahab already, there'll be showers, abundance of rain. Go check up again. Third time, I see nothing. You keep on going and checking up. Number four, check up. I see nothing. No, I see it here in my spirit. The rain coming from heaven. The power coming from heaven. Go again. Fifth time, I see nothing. Why? I see, you don't see. I see your miracle, you'll see your miracle. I see your healing, you'll see your healing. And a man came back and said, I see now. You will see now. But you must check up. You must check up. You must be looking at that person, looking at that person, because your own will come to you express way. Are you ready? Yes. After the final amen, you must check up. If your eyes say, I see nothing, check up again. And don't leave that place. Don't leave that place and check up again. Tonight, you'll see the power of God upon your life. Yes. Where are you? Raise up that hand and lay the other hand where you have the problem. A miracle is coming now. Healing is coming now. Deliverance is coming now. Signs and wonders coming upon your life tonight. You check up after the prayer online, over the radio, over the television, anywhere you are, in any city, any country of the world, miracle coming your way right now. Father, in Jesus' name, the name that never fails, the power that never fails, and we have the faith and the confidence that never fails. Lord, I pray, touch everyone, transform everyone, do miracle of healing, deliverance in everyone now, in Jesus' name. Those blind eyes now, at this very time, be opened and begin to see. Deaf ears, Lord, I pray you touch those ears now, they'll begin to hear. And those who have tongues that cannot move or speak out, that vocal cord, be loose in Jesus' name. I pray for those who have what you call terminal disease, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4, that cancer, be healed in Jesus' name. All sat there, be healed in Jesus' name. That breathing problem, you couldn't breathe well, you're trying to breathe and you're almost suffocating, be released right now. And I pray that you breathe well, be healed in Jesus' name. I pray for those who have that impediment and that kidney stone. Lord, I pray, remove that stone right now. That sharp pain, any part of your body, be delivered and healed in Jesus' name. That demonic problem, that evil spirit problem, I command that demon clear out of that place in Jesus' name. Lord, from the top of the head to the tip of the toe, everyone, sickness, come out. Disease, come out. Pain, come out. Let impossibilities be possible right now in Jesus' name. You are healed. You are delivered. And the Lord has set you free tonight in Jesus' name. Miracle there, healing there, deliverance there, signs and wonders there, a confirmation in every life. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It is done. It is done. Check up yourself, check up yourself, check up yourself. Your miracle is there. Don't say, I see nothing, check up again. Don't say, I can't feel it, check up again. Your healing is there tonight. I'm on reaching overseer, please.
Your healing